Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
The reason why is because hip hop is a culture. It's not a music. You know what I'm saying? Rap is the music.
Welcome to the What Hip Hop Questions, Legends, and Lists. My name is Nyla Simone.
And I am Mouse Jones, aka the man that puts jux in juxtaposition.
This week, we're getting back to our questions and lists, and we're definitely going to name some legends. Today, we're going to talk about top hip hop producers of all time.
That's right, Nyla. And with no further ado, he's already shook the room. We have legendary.
Yo, get out swinging, bro.
Brooklyn's own. Clark Kent, yes. DJ and producer, and like I said, sneaker aficionado.
Yeah, nah. I don't even know which one you're more famous for, the sneakers or the DJ.
I don't care. It depends on how old you are.
You gotta add, look.
I don't even think so.
I'm not gonna lie. Clark, I don't even care which one he's better at. It's which one he's more famous for. It's which one he's better at. He's equally great at all three.
Yeah.
Like, I think to like design a sneaker. Like, I don't think people understand the
87 sneakers.
Like, 87, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand that the fight that I was willing to fight to get my hands on those ones. Like, oh.
112s.
Yeah, yo, okay. Those 112s, I had to, that was the first time I ordered anything from Japan. First time.
At least you got them.
That's like, awesome. I don't think people understand that. Like, the first time I had to go, and I was like, nah, authenticate these twice. I want to make sure I'm not getting got.
I'm about to say, you sure they're legit?
I don't want to be prejudiced. But no, Clark, welcome to the What Hip Hop Question
Legend
list.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be asked to do things like this in a time like this. So I appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you agree.
No, yeah, honest. We're so hyped. Everybody like, that I told today was like, Clark Kent.
Literally, like, ran like, oh, no, I got Clark. My dad was like, Clark? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a listen, I was happy enough just knowing that you knew who I was. So
oh, come on, Mouse.
After that, I was like, anything
Mouse
else?
Mouse is making a name for himself in these streets, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes. No, they're quite aware. But I know you recently
I would like to say I only know about the good stuff. I don't
that's
know.
All, that's all I care about.
Okay, cool.
That's all I care about.
Okay, cool.
If Clark know all the good stuff, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
All right, I know you were recently a part of the Notorious B.I.G. tribute and event.
Yes,
tell
I
us
was.
About
so
that.
Crazy. I was asked by Miguel Atwood and my boy Jeff Walker to participate in a tribute to Biggie. And they wanted me because I was Biggie's DJ and I produced them and we made Junior Mafia together. And it's kind of impossible to say no when you ask me about Biggie. So I said yes and we put together an actually very, very nice show and people appreciated it. And, you know, that's all we were trying to do.
It
celebrate
like
my guy.
Big night.
When you're in it, you're just trying to make sure that we do what we do right. And if the people say it was epic, then cool.
Yeah, nah. I was looking on my timeline like, damn, I wish I was there.
It was really cool to do it because his mom was there, and then later she was like, "You did it. You Aww. Did it." And I was like, "Can someone take Miss Wallace home? Get her out of this club real quick. Please take her home." Because like I think she's a national treasure.
So. Yeah, she is, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What would you say are four traits that it takes to be an elite hip hop producer?
Well, I think we should take it away from being an elite hip hop producer, because hip hop is a culture. The music is rap. So if we're talking about rap music, then what I think it takes is being able to finish a record, because that's what a producer really does. He makes sure that the record is finished. He doesn't just give you a beat and walk away. Mm. I think it's being able to arrange within the song as much as the artist or as much as said writer. I think being a writer can also add to being a great producer. I think this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the shit for me. Like if I can do that, then and I make the ugly face and want to just play it,
yeah.
then that's great producer worthy. And you know, shifting and shaping and creating the way the sound changes from next to next to next. So I think the great ones are the ones who, when you hear it, you go, "Now that's who that is. That's who that is. That's who that is." You don't have to question like who these guys are.
People who have their own unique sound.
It's more than just a sound. It's just a feeling. As soon as you hear it, okay, that's, and oh, nah, that's gotta be. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're wrong, if you are wrong, it's because of how impactful the right guy was in the first place.
Right. No, that's real.
Now, how important to being a good DJ is being a great producer, and how important is it to being a great producer is being a good DJ?
Well, I think the only way that it goes is DJ producer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because as a DJ, you hear a lot of music and you should be listening to as much music as possible. And then that gives you the spark to become a producer. I'm not saying all producers have to be DJs, but if you're asking a DJ, I would think you should be a DJ first. Because going back, it means you're trying to grab something that really wasn't there for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If the music is in you already, you don't need to go back and try to be a DJ, because then all you're trying to do is play your tracks somewhere.
So that's smart. So yeah. It should always be a...
Well, to me, if you're a DJ, the progression should be you want to make the music that people hear.
But if you're already a producer...
If you're already a producer, I don't necessarily think you have to go back. I think that you're creating something for people to listen to. So I don't think you necessarily need to go back to become a DJ, because all you're really going to do is end up just playing your tracks everywhere you go.
But just because you start as a DJ doesn't mean it's easy to produce, because I have started producing. And it's a completely different, it's a completely different ball game.
Yes.
You in that basement making six beats a day for the summer?
Really, they're rough. I'd be thinking like they're great, and then I play it for my dad, and he's like, I wouldn't really.
Well, the thing is, no one made a dope beat the first time.
Yeah.
They were in the learning process, you know what I'm saying? Because being crafty like that, it has to build up. You know what I mean? Like I might have made 100 beats before I made one that person. Somebody was like, "Nah, that's fire."
Mm.
You know.
But what was the first one that was fire to you?
Shucks, probably something off of Jay's demo. Because when I was working on Jay's demo, like I might have had 400 or 500 beats, but like that I thought were like fire. Like, come on, like use these, and he'd be like, "Nah, use that." And you know, I'll use that.
How humbling is that? Or at that point,
it's not humbling at all, mm-hmm. because I'm making music. Like it's coming from my heart.
Yeah.
So no matter what anybody else feels, it's about what I believe. Mm-hmm. And if I have a belief in something that I made, the producer part says, "Meet me halfway and I promise you I'll take you all the way there."
Mm.
But that's what the producer is supposed to do. He's supposed to take whatever you bring, writer or artist, and take you the rest of the way. Because you got to meet him halfway with him musically. He has to look at your music and go, "Oh, I can do something to this."
Right.
I can take an acapella and create a track for it. You know what I'm saying? But they can't necessarily
do the reverse.
They can't take a track. They can't take their acapella and make a track for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They need a producer, or they should have a producer.
I've always wondered
what's extremely important for being a producer is that the artist trusts you. Because if he doesn't,
That was exactly what I was about to ask you. Like, what's your best part of, what's your favorite part about building that trust with an artist?
I think in my case, you knock on wood, I was a little lucky because every artist I wanted to work with, I was already being DJ Clark Kent when I met them or when I got to work with them. So like when I'm talking to Jay going, yo, you got to stop hustling. You need to rap. He's going, well, you're DJ Clark Kent. So maybe I'll listen, you know.
And one of my favorite, that's one of my favorite whole lines. I don't, and a lot of people don't know about it, but that line off the theater of them, I do it for hip hop with him, Nas, and Ludacris.
I rhyme to keep Clark off my back.
I was like, that's one of my favorite lines.
But imagine if I was just some guy telling him that, which there was plenty of guys who probably tried to tell him to rap. They didn't tell him to stop hustling. They told him to rap. You know what I'm saying? But I told him like, you got to stop hustling because of how good you rap. So let's do this together. And look, I don't know what it was. I don't know. Maybe it's like, again, like maybe it's because I was already being DJ Clark Kent. I already knew Jazzo. I'd already been in the studio with him when he was like 18 years old, 17 years old. I met him when he was like 16 or 17. So I was DJ Clark Kent when you met me. Maybe that's why he gave it this much trust. But this much trust is all after starting, as soon as we started, it became like, nah, what we doing? And it would be him showing up in my crib going, what we doing today? Show me what you got. And like, then it was like, okay, now I got to be an engine to continuously be trying to figure out musically what's going to be right for him and his tales and the way he was penning, or not penning, I should say.
Have you found a way to like seamlessly bring like so many different like subgenres of culture like together, like from fashion, sneaker fashion specific, and then obviously streetwear, you get into streetwear, you still and are still on the music scene. If you want to go into a club today, you still body it. Like how do you embody that part of the culture? How are so many different subgenres of the culture?
I'm not trying to do it. I really am a sneaker junkie. I really am a fresh junkie. Like and most people, like I'm not the sneaker collector. I'm a sneaker. I want the shit
so I'm putting it on.
But my thing is so I could be fresh. Mm-hmm. It's not so I could have it. Because once I wear it, I'm like, hey, you can take it now. So like what it means to other kids or two kids is like, oh my God, I got this trophy. For me, it's like, is it going to be fresh? Is the outfit going to be fresh? Because if the outfit ain't going to be fresh, I don't want that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much you hype it up. When it comes to playing parties, I want to be when I'm so into it that when I walk out the club, I want people to go, he's fucking amazing in a party. Like, I don't care about being amazing with the cutting and scratching. I have my years for that. When I'm in a club, when we walk out, then people got to go, he might be the best I've ever heard. Mm. So I'm true to it. I'm true to producing. If I decide to touch a drum machine, I want to make something that's going to be great. Like, so I don't touch a drum machine until I feel like the energy is there because I don't want to be trying to force it. I don't force anything. You know what I'm saying? If it's not coming from my heart, it doesn't get done.
Do you ever have like creative like droughts?
I guess because I get to create so many different things.
You could just.
Yeah. So it's almost like if I had a musical drought, let me go craft some shoes or let me make a dope sweatshirt or let me create some ideas DJ wise to be incredible. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I have a drought, I have something else I could snatch. But like in the midst of those times when somebody would say they had a drought, I would be trying to create craftily or thinking, okay, maybe this at some point when I come out of this drought will work when I'm producing. Or maybe, so I'm never not listening for.
They're just ideas in different places and then eventually.
Like I could be in an elevator, some elevator music come in. I'm going to hit the, what the fuck is that that's playing? Mm. Just if it hit me that way, I might never use it. But I might look back at it and go, okay, that motivated this.
Yo, I love that. In my notepad, I have mad parts of songs where I'm like, at some point when I become a good producer, I want to flip this. that I haven't yet flipped.
Do y'all ever get to, as DJs and now like producers as well, do y'all ever get to just enjoy? I'm talking to you.
I'm not a producer.
Your mind
I'm a DJ.
Is working that way now, though. Okay, so I'm asking, like, do y'all ever get to hear music the same?
Gotta start somewhere.
Do you get to hear music the same for like just for enjoyment? If not, when was the last time you heard music just as music?
Everything I hear is music.
Always.
Everything I hear is music. We just heard somebody knocking on something. That was music. Because it had a rhythm. When it first started, it had a rhythm. So it was music for me.
But when you hear something now.
I continuously always listen to music as that's the first.
Okay.
Anything that I make, think about this. Every single song you've ever heard in your entire life, and I swear to you, if you go back to every recorded piece of music, it came from the first piece of music.
Ooh.
So the first piece of music might have been somebody banging on some drums. Somebody else was like, I like that. And they created based off of that first piece of music. So everything that you hear is a sample.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Clark was Brooklyn's Finest and Play His Anthem. Were those songs or samples that you were DJing and you heard? Or was that part of Crate Digging for you?
Play His Anthem was a sample that when I heard it, I was like, oh, I gotta make this. Brooklyn's Finest was a song that I played at the end of every party I played. And because we as a group hung out so much together, like me, Jay, Dame, Biggs, all, we hung out as a crew, you know what I'm saying? So much, they would be at every party and they would hear the song come on. And then Dame was like, yo, you got to flip that again. Because what most people don't know is I use that sample on Damon's first group, The Future Sound, on a remix that I did for them. It's just that I only use one bar of it. But when you hear the song, it plays and has so much soul. When Dame was like, yo, you got to flip it again, I was like, okay, cool, but I'm going to take it soulfully. And soulfully, the only way to take it was five bars. So the fact that Jay could look at the five bars and figure out how to rhyme to five bars instead of four bars was like the master part of it.
Art. What was that recording session like, seeing Hov? I don't know if you've got asked this enough, but I have to. Like, it's one of my favorite songs ever. Like, Hov, Big, the first time they were on record together.
Yeah.
What is that like? Like, that's your beat. That you used to play at the end of the party, you never reworked it. You seen Hov's genius rapping within that five ball. Now you got Big doing the same. And you like back to back. What are y'all?
And did you even know it was gonna be what it is?
I believe I knew what it was gonna be because it wasn't Biggie's record, and he wasn't supposed to be on the record. It was Jay's record, and but I just Biggie wanted to be a part of the song so much because he heard the beat by accident that I was like, yo, just come to the studio and wait downstairs. All I can do is ask.
Oh, you know, I remember you telling that story.
So I go upstairs, I track the beat, Jay goes in and he does a whole song. Like, Jay rhymed for the whole song. And then probably stupidly, I was like, yo, when he comes out the booth and the shit is fucking fire, what he did was fire. I'm like, yo, you know, we should get Biggie on this. And he's looking at me like,
the disrespect.
No, not the disrespect.
He's probably looking at it like, he's sure, looking, let's get Biggie on it, but how?
No, not really. He almost looked at me like, why did you say that now? Like, after I just went in there. Because
his thought process would have been different.
Right, maybe, right? So he goes, plus, you know, I don't really know him. And I was like, well, you know, I know him. And Dame, the funniest part is he's going, nah, fuck that. We ain't paying Puff no money. Right? And I just was like, okay. And then but you know, Jay turns and he says, I mean, you know, if he feel like it and he like it and whatever. So I was like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. And the bathroom is out in the hall near the elevator. I went down to the elevator and brought him back up and was like, hey guys, Biggie.
Yeah, they
Jay.
Probably looking like, yo, and, what?
And Jay, he was like, yo, you a funny nigga. Like, that's all he said. He's like, you a funny nigga. And then I introduced them. There wasn't even no real words between it. It was, they just laughed. And then he was like, you fuck with this? He was like, yeah. So he played it. And then Jay was like, turn my vocals off. After he played it once. And he was like, you fuck with it? He was like, yeah. But then he turned my vocals off and he just like let it play. And then you could just see Jay
doing a complete different new.
And he goes, I'm ready, and goes in the booth and does totally different. Everything that you hear on the record is totally different than what he did before. Wow. And then he goes, you ready? And Big was like, what the fuck just happened? I was like, I told you, he thinks of the rhymes. Like, and the thing is, like, I was on tour with Biggie telling him, yo, my guy's like the most incredible shit in the world. And he's just like, all right. And I was like, no, he doesn't write rhymes down. He was like, nah. And then he seen it. And then after he seen it, he was like, what the fuck just happened? And I was like, I told you, don't write no rhymes down. Are you ready? He was like, nah, I need to take this shit home. So, but in that moment, he goes, he didn't write that down. I was like, nah. He said, I ain't writing rhymes no more.
Fire.
Wow.
And then he never wrote his rhymes down again. But I told him how Jay did that. So once I told him how he did it, he was like, okay, I get it. So, you know.
So technically, you're the greatest rap producer ever.
Nah.
No, that story right there, that is the story of the greatest rap producer ever.
But it's a story of how being a producer works.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bring them together. Make them do it. Like, explain how it gets done in the middle. Even though Jay came up with totally different rhymes, it was like, now here's these five bar spaces for you to fill. Can you do that? And it took like 2.5 months for Biggie to come back and be like, let's go. But it was the night before mastering.
Wow.
Yeah, because we was on the road.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, and
other
he was more,
going on, yeah, yeah.
Also getting the rhymes together to fit what Jay-Z did. Yeah. And then we get to the studio the night before mastering and they leave me in there after Big does his verses. They leave me in there with no hooks. So now I got to make the hook. And then that's me on the hook. So if you think about the song, right? The song is called Brooklyn's Finest. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Brooklyn's Finest Rapper, mm-hmm. Brooklyn's Finest MC, Brooklyn's Finest DJ.
Producer, yeah.
That's dope. That's dope as hell.
There is a part of producing that's like Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, right? Like,
oh no, for real. If a producer gains the trust, then he's the coach.
You got to make the team play for
right.
You.
So like every record that was made for Reasonable Doubt, it was like we'd sit down and listen to mm-hmm. it and think about it. If you're an artist, do you necessarily just listen to everybody or you listen to the people you trust? In that room, I'm one of the people in the room. I started the whole let's record Jay-Z situation. I started the whole let me introduce you to Dame Dash. He should be your manager. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, shit, he brought Dame. He brought Jay. Like, yeah, nah, trust him. You know what I'm saying? So the trust between me and him is different. Like, still, you know?
So you're currently listening to the What Hip Hop Questions, Legends and Lists. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Well, listen, we are here to get to this list.
Yes.
This is already the great, I said it on my own. This is already the greatest episode of what that we've ever had. And it's about to get greater. Okay. Yeah. We got 5 spaces to fill in for the best rap producer of all time. We'll start with the youth in the room. Mind your business.
Oh my God, that's a good one.
Who is your number 5?
All right, so my number, all right, I'm not going to do that. So I put for 5 Premier and 4 Jimmy Dupree.
That's a good 5 and 4. I'm not going to hold you.
Yeah.
That's a good 5 and 4. All
right, cool.
As for me, I went number 5, Teddy Riley. Number 4, Dr. Dre. I think both of those guys.
Teddy rap?
Have you ever heard Rex and the Have you ever heard All I Want to Do Is Zoom, Zoom, Zoom Me? Have you ever heard any of New Jack Swing?
What about the show?
The show. Like, there's much rapping on New Jack Swing.
New Jack Swing is like.
Well, that's a big reason why I got Teddy Riley on this list, right? Because both him and Dr. Dre, like, birthed and authored sounds.
That's for sure.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, they authored sounds. Dr. Dre, multiple sounds over multiple generations. Teddy Riley, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. The person who I was looking up, I was trying to see if they're a producer, but I don't think they're a producer. I was going to say Raphael Sadiq. He's not a producer, right?
He's definitely a producer.
So, okay.
And he's amazing.
He's a great producer.
Like, no, he's like,
but then it's like, no, that's no, not rap, though.
He's fucking amazing.
But he's amazing.
But that's not rap.
I agree, but he's amazing.
That's why I said I don't think Teddy Riley's rap either.
His first rap record, I don't even understand how you get him on the best in rap.
Because he
only has a certain amount of rap songs.
But Teddy and great, Raphael.
Great without those songs, is rap the same? Without those songs that he produced, is
the show is probably the greatest hip hop record ever.
So with
so many lines,
and the reason why I say that is because it had the DJing on it, it had the beatbox on it, and it had a dope beat. It was literally like one of the best all hip hop. It's almost like the only record that transcends rap and becomes hip hop.
Mm. Okay, I like that.
That's well worded.
But
because he produced everything.
I like Teddy Riley. I didn't know he was rap. Or I would put Raphael Sadiq.
You still get there's still records that sure he may not have a large category.
Because Jack Swing is New Jack Swing.
But a huge portion of that is hip hop.
New Jack Swing is based off of hip hop.
Yeah, but it's
based off of rap. Music.
But it has its own title.
Where it came from.
It came from hip hop though. It came from rap.
And he did that in his mother's kitchen.
All right.
Bobby Brown came to record in Harlem in the kitchen.
Yep.
Okay? That's why Teddy Riley's on this list. Y'all could be mad at me. You yell at me.
You made this money.
I don't care. Huh?
What did he say? Ooh. I made this money. You right, Ted?
Oh, at the end of the We out of here. It's my.
All right, our guest.
I love doing that.
Who you got, OG?
Our guest.
I don't have 5. I have 6.
Oh.
I have a number 6. And then number 6, I have 2 people tied.
Okay.
I have Kanye West and No ID tied.
Wow.
Fair.
Right?
So much classic work between the
two. At number 5, I have Dr. Dre and DJ Quick tied.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm not arguing.
DJ Quick's a fucking demon.
I'm not arguing that.
At number 4, I got Just Blaze.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that. You can't be mad at that.
Wait.
Yeah, so I have
Quick and Dr. Dre.
Quick and Dr. Dre.
Put them together because they both West Coast?
No, because they're both
tied at number five. As to where me and you probably seen Kanye and No ID tied because they've done a lot together.
Yeah.
He's saying Dre and Quick are tied because even on separate planes, they're tied.
Right.
But I seen it the same way when he said Kanye and No ID. I'm like, oh, of course, because you don't really get Kanye without a No ID. But He's still saying no, but separately, they're still tied.
Who's more prolific, Kanye or No ID? Kanye would be more prolific, mm-hmm. but No ID is a is he made 444. Like I give you that. Like he made 444. He made Common's first album. Like he's a demon.
Yeah.
And he's a demon whenever he feels like it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If he decides to chill for 2 years, when he comes back, you're gonna feel that impact. Snow Allegra is because of No ID.
Mm.
And her shit be bumping.
Who does you know what? I know. Never mind.
I mean, but and Just Blaze.
I mean, yeah, we like, know.
I'm
give the drummer some, please.
Just Blaze. Like he's just
got
Blaze.
His own sound. It's Just Blaze. Just Blaze? Him. Yeah.
You can't even say his name regularly. You gotta
just Just Blaze. Drop.
Anthems.
Anthems.
No, he like multiple. Like he's yeah, he's vicious.
Notice that Inkclaw gave us a six man. Never done before on this podcast.
I gave a six ever. On the group thing. Well, and I was like, you can't do that.
The reason why I did that
is like a billion people already.
But the reason why I did that is because like I can't talk about the top of the tops and not mention these four guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just that as we go closer, like it gets very clear where mine is at. Yeah. Yeah.
Sheesh. All right.
Hey, King, who you got?
All right. So for number five, I did a split, so y'all gonna have to deal with it. Organized Noise and Havoc.
Oh my god.
Oh, okay.
And then my number four is DJ Premier and Kanye.
Wow. I forgot about
that. That is crazy how they're so leave it to Mouse to be, you know, today the Young Bucks are the definitive ones, clearly. we decided. We made hard choices today. No, D-Block.
But honestly, I'm with them. How are they poor? Organized Noise on here? I feel bad.
I'm okay with them not being in the top five.
Shit, I'm okay with them not being in the top
five. Top 10, sure, but I'm fine.
Listen.
We wouldn't get Outkast. We
wouldn't get them, but can you say sonically they're better than Dr. Dre?
Hell no. Not even the same point.
Can you say sonically they're better than Kanye? Can you say sonically they're better than No ID? Can you say sonically they're better than Jermaine Dupri?
No.
Can you say sonically they're better than Premier?
I can say sonically they gave me a lot of soul, which I really appreciate.
That's perfectly fine, but I asked you a different question.
It's less soul. I'm here for the soul. That's you're here what for I the gravitate soul? Oh, towards.
So then Kanye West is number one for you then.
Damn.
We knew that. I don't want you to think anybody didn't know that. spoiler alert, even the fans at home knew that.
Oh my god. Let's go to number three,
punching some fun music here, why don't you? Here's another one.
My number three is Pharrell. And I'm not biased or nothing.
Well, where would the bias come from?
Because he's from the DMV.
Oh, okay. Just want you to say it. And you left the L off his name, so I know you're not biased.
Oh.
My number three, Just Blaze. You know, we already spoke of on the greatness. Get a drum or something, man. Like, there's no, I don't have the relationship I have with hip hop if it's not for Just Blaze and Kanye tracking those.
And Bink.
And Bink. Bink. You know, I love VA. Don't hold against me.
See, that's
what I'm
like, this is hard. Because then you start hearing other names and you're like, damn.
Don't hold against me, Bink. I did not forget you. But yes, there's no way I could leave Just Blaze off this list. I'm telling you now, number two. Two and one, y'all gonna get so mad at me, and I already know, but it's fine.
Yes.
It's on you, OG.
Pharrell.
Oh, yeah.
With all due respect, Pharrell is the most producer person on the list.
Yes.
Is the most producer person?
Yes. Because Pharrell doesn't just give you a track or bring you to the track. He gives you the hook. He mm-hmm. gives you the way you're gonna mm-hmm. say your raps, mm-hmm. and he gives you the cadences, everything.
The story.
He's like, This is what you're gonna do on this. And I've seen it 70 times. Like telling somebody, no, this is what you're gonna this here, this is how you're gonna like he even showed it on the Fade to Black when he was telling Jay-Z.
That's what I was about to
when
say.
He was in the studio with him and he was he didn't even have the hook yet, but he was like, this is what it's gonna be. And he was like, yeah, and this is where you
So if I could just cheat right now, number two is Pharrell for me, and that's the moment that why? Because the song that OG is talking about is a lore. Arguably Jay-Z's greatest song ever.
I'm sorry, I forgot to put the it's a slash on that one for me though. I forgot to write it.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that.
But that's my number two. Pharrell is my number two for that very
Since
reason.
Since we're talking about him, it's good to bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was
Timberland.
Yeah, I was
Pharrell and Timbaland.
I'm okay with Timbo being number seven, being number six or seven for me. It's very rare air. It's a, for me, it's about to get very, it's very, the air is very thin when I get to number one.
But the thing with them is the same.
They're able like, to.
Like to say,
yeah,
this is what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And Timbaland gets tracks from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like he'll hear something in the room and be like, yeah, that's it right there. Mm-hmm. And then he'll beatbox it, and all of a sudden, it's a whole record.
That's why.
It's like he's, just watching watching Pharrell and Timbaland on Fade to Black.
Think about it. They're both from Virginia. They both from the same crew, and they both are geniuses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you might argue that Timbo man has more R&B, but the things he's done in rap are craziness. Like, he made Big Pimpin'. He made Point Out the Bounce.
I need the bounce.
He made
Missy. Man, rap with Missy.
Listen, it's getting red air already. Yeah, the air's thin up here.
But to me, the way I look at this thing is the things that happen, like the musicality of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, Just Blaze's musicality is off the wall. Like, Pharrell and Timbo, their musicality is like some other shit.
Yeah. And all these people had like eras of dominating.
Yeah.
And existed together. Like, you talk about somebody like Pharrell, Timbaland, like, they're dominating charts together. You either, it's very reminiscent of, like, New Jack Swing days, like, when you had, you know, Teddy Riley, where, like, you know, MCA took Bobby Brown to Teddy Riley equally as they took him to Babyface and L.A. Reid. Like, that's what Pharrell and Timbaland give me the thought process. Like,
at number six, I could have put another slash and added Swiss.
Yeah.
I'm okay with him being further down.
But I'm saying, like, I could have put him at the same place where I put Kanye and No ID, because
I don't know if he has this
of this list of parties.
The stamp.
The what?
I don't know if he has the musicality that a Kanye and No ID have.
Yo, Swiss Beats makes, he could probably sit in front of you and make 25 beats in about an hour, and like 20 of them will be bombs. Like, that's where he's at with it. Like, he's that ill, B. Like, Swiss is ill.
But he doesn't
ill.
Have the dexterity. Like,
he might not have the dexterity. Or there's things he's made like, that you're not range. Thinking about. There's things he's made that, like, he made, bring me alone. Like,
oh, he did.
You know what I'm saying? Funny. Like, when you hear it, you're like, you're not immediately thinking Swiss Beats. You're thinking that record is fire. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Swiss did a Beyonce right
here. Yeah, B. That's Swizzy.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Does Pharrell have the most musical training out of everybody on this list so far, you think, Clark?
Musical training? Probably.
Went to school for music?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably.
Well, what about Kanye?
I'm telling you, Kanye, I don't think he went to school. Pharrell could play every fucking damn near instrument in the universe. Like, he could just, like, he was Pharrell in a band. Kanye, he was in a drum line. Drum, like, he was, like, he was for real. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Who you got number three, A. King?
All right, so this was a toss-up. My two and three.
I could see it right through the thing.
It was a toss up. Two and three. Number three, Just Blaze.
But we're not on two yet, though.
No, I know. But he could easily go anywhere in the top three, at least in my top three. But today at this second, I got him as number three. Shout out to Just Blaze.
Just Blaze.
Number two.
D Block. Oh, you sending this one out, D Block?
Yeah, I'm going to say.
What? He said it's black. He says black music money. He's not getting in trouble. I respect it.
y'all are foul.
My number two was already written, so I guess I'll wait for everybody else.
I'll say mine.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre.
I'm not mad at it. You, like I said, he authored Styles. Like,
NWA, Pac, Snoop. I mean, we don't got to do his catalog, but yeah.
50.
There was a lot more people who worked on Pac before Dr. Dre got to him.
Oh, yes, this is true. Okay. This is true.
Let's put this out there. Pac raised Dr. Dre's stock. Because Pac was already Pac when he got, like, you have to understand, Easy Mo B worked on Pac before Dr. Dre got to him.
Mm.
He made so many tears. He did Temptations. He did so many tears.
Okay. Temptations is my favorite Pac song, so that's that. Ooh.
Temptations, but, hey. That was Easy Mo B. Right? No, wait, that was Easy Mo B and Riff. So Riff is on that song in the background doing the A, which was Rapping is Fundamental, which is Easy Mobi's group.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well,
he was in Brooklyn making records. Holla back.
Get him out of here.
Can we say that Pac's biggest records were produced by Dre?
Maybe biggest, but best?
I'm just saying biggest.
I'm just saying biggest or best.
You walked yourself, yourself into that one.
My favorite Pac record is Temptations, but how many people really know Temptations? But everybody knows California Love.
Everybody knows Dear Mama. And that ain't Drake.
I get around.
Everybody knows I Get Around. That ain't Drake. I drop it off.
Drake is my number two, goddammit.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you at that. Okay. I'm just saying, but you use Pac. Like, how do you use Pac?
That's the only one you focus on. I said NWA.
I'm just saying what you said, Pac.
Words mean things, Nyla.
Pac was like the third one I said.
Okay. All right.
So my number two, I already told y'all, this is my, since everybody's using the slash, I figured I'd go use the slash.
What happened to the Unity?
I'm sorry I had to, because this one was rough. And I was trying to figure it out. And I was going to actually... When I seen the slash come, I was like, okay. No, it's not coming. I'm telling you, you're not gonna throw no tomatoes. I say number two is Pharrell / Missy Misdemeanor Elliott as a producer, producing for herself, producing alongside of Timbaland, like producing for other, like Missy's fire, and she can't be boxed in. She's water. Okay. Missy's really water when it comes to this shit. Like. Okay. And obviously, I think Missy is that good because she came up under Mr. Dalvin, Pharrell, Timbaland.
Devontae.
Let's
get that properly.
It's
Devontae.
She slipped. I slipped. We young. but that's my nigga. Jodeci is my shit, all right?
Yo.
It's right here.
Okay, all
right. The Dax is right here.
Okay.
But yes, I got Pharrell, Missy as my split for number two.
Okay.
Our guest number two.
Tear me apart. I seen the eyes.
Oh, Molly Ma.
Oh, wow. I thought he would have been number one for you.
Molly Ma is the father of every rap producer's style.
Got my man Molly Ma.
Like, he literally is the reason why we all make beats the way that we do, is Molly Ma. Like, Molly Ma is Jesus Christ of
rap
producers. He's like all of our Jesus. Like, when we speak about it, like, if you get producers in a room, like, his name's going to come up just as much as damn near everybody, because they're going to have to look back to where they come from, and where they come from comes from Molly Ma. Right. I used to be in his house. Like, I learned how to actually use a drum machine sitting in his house and Herbie Lovebug's house. Like, watching them use it. They didn't even teach me. They just was like, I just watched them use it. I watched him on SB12. The things he was doing on SB12, producers can't do now, still. He's the father of all rap producers.
Yeah.
Not mad at that. Not mad at that at all. Hey, King?
My number two.
I can already see. I seen it earlier.
I think I took Clark's number four for my number two, I believe, which is a split. The VA Boys, Pharrell and Timbo.
That's my number three. That was my number three.
Oh, that was your number three. Yeah. And that's easy. Like, Pharrell and Timbo, I mean, if I go in my playlist, like what I've been listening to, you know how the other streaming companies, they have what you listen to for the year? They're in there, you know what I mean? Just on their discography and catalog. Sure. So they're my number two. And that, like I said, I could flip-flop between my two and three, which is Just Blaze, any given day. So there you have it.
I ain't mad at Pharrell ever. Like, Pharrell just produced half of the best rap album this year.
Not mad at that at all.
Oh my God. You know who we forgot?
We didn't forget anybody. We didn't.
I want to see if you guys all forgot somebody that was on my
list. Yo, I forgot.
I know who you're talking. You got to say your list.
I forgot about Cannon.
Cannon
should be on here. Cannon?
Don Cannon?
Yeah.
Cannon. In this company.
At least. We're talking about the top five, bro.
All time.
Cannon has mad hits though. He got mad hits. I didn't realize how many hits he had till I seen Drama Live.
Wait,
you care about Cannon's hits? When we're talking about Pharrell and Timbaland.
Molly Ma, Pharrell, Timbaland, Just Blaze, Dr. Dre, DJ Quick, Kanye West,
We had to add a six man to get caught. He had to add a six man to get Kanye, no idea. You talking to me about Cannon?
I'm gonna tell you who everybody forgot too, about. Honestly. But they forgot about him, and I'm not mad at them forgetting about him because of what he means to producers instead of what he means to put to the actual song making part. Everybody, I didn't forget it. I just know that when I look at this, I'm like, I have to think about all the songs. And when I think about all the songs, he doesn't have enough songs to fuck with this list.
Who?
JD. Jay Dilla. Jay Dilla.
Oh, Jay not Dilla. Not that JD.
Jay Dilla. I know you thought that, but I thought that too. But I'm just like, I have to think of songs. Now, if you were just talking to producers, we'd all go Jay Dilla somewhere on this list mm-hmm. because of how insane mm-hmm. he made beats. But you can't go, there's enough songs that stand behind that. He made albums of just beats that right. as producers we're going, this motherfucker's crazy. Like he's crazy, crazy, crazy. You know what I'm saying? There's some new guys that are around that when they get their time, they're gonna lay motherfuckers out because of JD. Mm. Because they're looking at JD going, oh, he was wilding. Like, there's dudes, I could listen to their style and go, oh, yeah, that's because of JD. You know what I'm saying? But they're wilding. You know what I'm saying? All they gotta do is catch some records. If they catch some records and they catch enough records, then we're gonna be talking about a different list in a while. But JD didn't get a chance to catch enough records. His record, he's made some great records. Yeah. It's just that he didn't get enough for you to be like, he made the Far Side. Like he made Can't Keep Running Away. Mm-hmm. And we listen to that shit. Every time I listen to it, I just think, God damn, that beat is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He made a bunch of dope beats. It's just that more of his dopest shit don't have artists on it. You know what I'm saying? Like
that Donuts album was crazy.
Christ. Like what the fuck? Like I can't even I can't even consider that rap. I just gotta consider that music because it's so insane.
Yeah.
Like
are we ready though?
Well, before we go into number one, I was gonna ask you about Marley. Do you think the sample laws have boxed him in or limited him from keep on producing when it comes to?
Nah, because he still does what he wants when he wants. Yeah. I just think that if we don't have Marley Marl, like half of the list don't exist.
Any of this list.
I can't. Well,
except maybe.
Well, Dre actually, except maybe.
Dre and Quick don't. For real. I mean, Dre don't sample a lot.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean,
are you like 90%?
Not Dre. I'm at
Quick Pharrell. Does too. It's just that he will play the whole sample over and then switch it a little bit. But but DJ Quick, his musicality, dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you know DJ Quick is a fucking amazing producer? Rafael Sadiq be like, hey, Quick, what are you doing? Like, let's go make some records. You know what I'm saying? He's worked with Rafael Sadiq a million times because of how amazing his musicality is.
He worked with him a lot on that Lucy Pearl project. All that. You're now listening to the What Hip Hop Questions Legend List. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
So let's go to number ones.
Oh man,
number ones.
I know I'm getting. I know.
You
I know
guys
it's about to get crazy.
Mind, so it's Kanye.
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 Yeah, that's a crazy catalog.
Can we put a bed when I show my number one?
You want a bed?
Yeah, like a bed.
A music bed.
Oh, music bed.
Which song? Can't tell me nothing.
I hope not.
That was a
shit gonna get shut down.
Just because you said it's Kanye, you can't tell me nothing.
Right, now if you want this, now if you want this episode to stay up,
oh, you're right. Copyright issue.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Mouse. All right.
Then you know what you do. You play. I changed my mind. not for any funny shit. Not for any funny shit because that beat was fucking ignorant. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Like that fucking beat is outstanding.
Oh,
play the Brandy joint.
Or the internet.
Play the Brandy joint.
Oh, take me. No, never.
I don't know. When I heard that beat, I was like, oh my fucking God. I was like, that's amazing. Especially because I knew the sample.
Yeah.
When I'm knowing the sample and I'm going, who would have never touched that? Like, look what you did. And it's so good, man. Yo, when a producer does some shit that makes you go, I wish I did that shit. That's when you know.
Yeah.
That's the, like, when I heard Next Episode, I was like,
yeah.
Well, I listened to that sample 1,000 times. How I never said, yeah, I'm going to do that. But then you hear it and you're just like, yeah, all right, Dre.
You got it.
All right, Playboy.
So, In that vein, I'm going with to me one of the masters of that. Puff Daddy is my number one.
Puff Daddy's a great
Puff
producer.
Daddy is my number one. As y'all can see, I have in the corner Heaven, what I consider Heaven. Y'all know I separate everything by like Earth and then like out of this world shit, right? Kanye and Jermaine Dupri are not on my list because I think they're out of this world. I don't think it would be fair to critique them by anybody's list, the shit they've done.
So you basically have six.
Technically, I got seven.
I got seven. No, because you slashed them, right?
No, they're one and two in Heaven.
Who's one and two?
Kanye's one.
Kanye's zero?
And JD is two in Heaven.
Which JD? Jermaine Dupri.
I have Dilla. I would put Dilla as my sixth man. So Dilla would be on my list if we had six.
I just want to be careful here because we're talking about rap.
We're talking about rap. Jermaine Dupri, although he wasn't producing like super hippity hop rap. I didn't say hippity hop. I didn't do that. Don't do that. He still produced Bow Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He still produced Chris Cross.
Listen. Here's why I put JD like in a different place.
Yeah.
I actually put him and Pharrell in a different place because they're probably two artists that make artists.
Yes.
And that is some other shit to make an
artist.
Which is
why I had to put him, I couldn't put him in this list. I couldn't put him on
a
list.
Understand me, I didn't put JD on the list. Yeah. I had to put Pharrell because of how many amazing records he made and he just made Rap Album of the Year.
Yes.
So, but if we're just talking about producers, period, them two dudes are on a list. They're in the top five of best producers ever.
Ever.
I'm just talking about producers. Yeah. Like, ever. Yeah. Because of the ability to pluck somebody and go, okay, this is what you're going to do. And you do everything, and then it comes out right. Like, he made Escape. Like, he...
That's what I'm saying. Like, he is a factory. It, within his own self, he is a factory.
Yeah, but he's a factory in music. I don't know if it's rap music like
that. I still would not be able
to. And I'm not mad at you.
And I agree with you, but I would not be able to even talk about hip hop, rap, anything, and not address what he did as just a monster. Same thing with Ye. I can't put Ye on this list.
I want to go on record as clearly saying, I might not have him on my top rap list, but he's in my top five of best producers ever.
Same. He's
Jermaine Dupri.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Like, Puff is in my top 10 of best producers ever. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Like,
that's why,
like,
I put
Pharrell
him,
yeah, top producers ever.
Like Puff would touch a rap song and it's just a hit. It's a hit. It's a hit. He was different. Like, he was different. To this day, he's different. I know music is changing.
I think what Puff did, like, easily,
mm-hmm,
was bring energy.
Yeah.
And energy helps make a record.
Even when you talk about a remix, what is that? He brought a new energy to a song. That's
energy.
Energy. So, yeah. So that's why I got Puff as my number one. I know y'all are mad.
As the producer of this podcast, I can bring energy to this room.
Speak on it, guys.
Tomato.
Clark, what's your number one?
My number one is DJ Premier.
Okay.
Okay.
And the reason why my number one is DJ Premier is because he's the most boom bap producer ever. And even if he made a beat on somebody that I didn't think the song was good,
right?
Like, I still walk away going, God damn, but the beat is fire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but he made Unbelievable. He made Kick in the Door. Mm. He made so many. Mm. Here's the thing. Premier probably has more records that didn't go to radio that were bombs than everybody on the list.
Mm.
Think about this.
Absolutely.
Like, Premier's records might not have gone to radio
still
the same way. But you look at them like, nah, those records are better than the records on the album. You know what I mean? And it's almost like a rapper's rite of passage to rhyme on Premier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say this, and this is something I've never admitted before. Like, he's literally one of the reasons why I slowed down on producing. What? Because I was always like, damn, look, what the fuck was going on when he did that? So and the thing is, before, when I first was making beats, I made beats the same way. I would chop samples and make beats. And, you know, like, and that's the way I was trying to shift my shit around, like throw people like, but then the shit where I had more melodic and more soulful loops with the shit that people chose. And I would be like, yo, what the fuck? These beats are crazy. And then his joints would come out and I'd be like, yeah, it's the shit. The shit that I would be wanting to do. So, but because I knew that's the way I would start making every beat, I just was like, I just got to slow down. And let me just not as much. You know what I'm saying? Because Premier, like, every time he chopped the beat, I just was like, Jesus Christ. Like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, and like, we literally used the same sample, like, right behind each other. I produced Player's Anthem, and then he produced You Played Yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he made it because I made Player's Anthem. Mm-hmm. I think that was a conversation. Like, J. Rue was like, You Played Yourself, talking about Biggie.
Yeah.
But he made it because of that. So he used the same sample. I used it. I took it apart, chopped it, put it back. But I put it back the same way. But I put it back so it could play in a different speed in the same notes. He took the notes apart, chopped it up, and it became You Played Yourself. And I was like, what the fuck was it? I almost felt like, he don't like me. and you need to know, like, might know Premier before everybody in rap, because when he was at school at Prairie View University, I went and did a show there with Dana Dane, and that's the first time we met, is while he was still in school. This is before he's making records. Wow. And we became friends then. So, like, I'm like, that's my man. Like, does he not
why
like
he acting
me?
Like that?
But I wasn't even mad. I was like, he murdered that shit.
Yeah,
I was
still got the win. You know why?
No, I got the win.
niggas.
Yeah, like, yeah. I might have got the win, hear that, but in like, my producer heart, I was like,
"You felt it,
fuck."
Yeah, you felt it.
We had a fight, and he hit me with a haymaker. You know what I'm saying? But like, literally, I would just keep hearing Preem and just be like, "You know what? Slow down."
That's fly.
And you know, I'm a DJ first. You know what I'm saying? I'm a producer second. I'm a producer because I'm a DJ. But I literally, he's the only person that made me go, maybe you should slow down for a little bit and chill and take it and not be trying to go so hard. Like maybe just like, and that's what made me look differently at producing. It made me go, do I want to produce this artist? Do I want to do a record with it? You know what I'm saying? So I'm more careful like that. I'm not just the guy who's like factory and going, yo, I want to produce joints. I'm going to produce joints and have joints on everybody. I'm like, do I like the artist? Is the artist dope? So now when I do something, I'm just like, I'm thinking about how dope is the artist. So like when I worked with Kanye, I was like, Kanye is amazing. So when we made the record we made, I might not have been like, oh, this is amazing. I was just like, I worked with an amazing artist. So I was choicy. You know what I'm saying? So like right now, I'm just like, instead of just being a beat factory, I'm just like, do.
Like a beat dojo.
Like, do I want to work with the artist? Do I think the artist is amazing? Because I really want to be a producer in the room. I don't want to be the guy who just gave you a beat.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, there's a, I hate to do the stereotype of the white boy that loves Wu-Tang, but there's a big omission from all three of your lists.
Oh, RZA?
I don't think he's top five.
I don't think.
You said five.
I think if you were saying important, most important producers in rap, he's definitely top five. But like, I'm like, does he have enough to be in this same conversation? And do I think he's great? Absolutely. He made you like an offbeat loop. I'm like, how? But like, we liked it. We was like, nah, that shit's fire. You know what I'm saying? He made you like shit differently. He made a lot of people believe they were producers when they weren't. Mm. Like he made a lot of guys who were sitting in their house with a sample or go, oh, I'm a producer because of the RZA. Like, no, you're not. The RZA had a formula. RZA had these guys that he was going to like, I'm going to make their shit feel like this. So RZA did something extremely important.
And I like how they kind of showed that.
On the series. The RZA was definitely the abbot. He was the abbot. He was the head of all of it. And you can't take that away. His shit is his sound and he's amazing for it. You know?
Yeah.
Amazing. Like, I think the RZA is fucking super dude.
Who's a
dude.
Great producer. Whoever's fucking downstairs drilling, that they're a great producer. That they are producing the hell out this episode. Hey, King, who you got, Hey, King? So we can hurry up before they start drilling again.
My number one, man, I listened to this album from the time it came out, even to this day, outside of the previous discography and just his contribution to the culture, period, man. I'm going to take it to West Coast, Dr. Dre.
Number one?
Yeah.
Can't be mad at that, dog. I can't be mad at it.
Yeah, number one.
A lot of producers will say Dr. Dre. You know?
All right. To be honest, I was going to put DJ Clark Kent at first, but then I said he's here. I don't want to seem like
that would be weird.
You know
right?
what I mean? Yeah. You know
well,
what I, mean?
I wouldn't put myself in the top in the top six of this. And the reason why is because, yes, I've made some records. Yes, I've made some hits. Yes, I've done some things.
Play the anthem. And Brooklyn Finest has you in top 10. No one, if anyone argues that, fight them.
Songs.
No.
I don't know about producer. No. To me, you got to have, I made enough records and I've produced and remixed a bunch of records, but like to stand next to Molly Maw, like most people would be like, that's humble. I'm like, that ain't even humble. That's me saying, Molly, you fathered my style.
Those two records alone, if we're looking at it like a versus, like a quantifiable thing, like a one has to last type thing, those two songs will knock out at least five songs from each person on this list.
Sky's the limit.
You're at three.
I'm not going to say I don't have some bombs.
Now you're at three.
I'm not going to say I don't have some bombs, but just, what I'm saying is,
that's my quantifier. If I have to sit here and I say, I got those three records, mind you, we're just stopping at these three. We can keep going. He has about 10. He's sitting here, but I'm going to say it for him. He has about 10 records that will smoke any 10 records from these people on this list. That's, you have to put yourself in that top 10.
Me personally, I can't. I really believe I can't, because when I look at this list, I look at a bunch of guys who just like Like, most people look at me putting Molly Ma at number two and be like, Molly Ma ain't done this in this amount of time. But what Molly Ma did is the reason why we can talk about a top rap list. Like, he is Jesus to all of us.
The symphony, you know what I'm saying? Needs to be like, in, like, the National Museum of African-American History.
Dog.
Like, to the first posse cut.
He made It's a Demo. And when you listen to It's a Demo, just the way that he hooked the drums is enough for all of us to go, okay, yeah, yeah, leave that man alone. Leave him alone. He's separate. It's almost like I want to be like, here's Molly Ma and here's the rest of the list. But, you know, Premier, for me, beat-wise, I'm just like, yeah, like, he just don't fucking miss. Pharrell and Timbaland, like, I can't stand next to them. Respectfully, I think they're, like, Just Blaze, dog. Like, I talk to Just Blaze once a week because, right, like, he's my young homie.
Right, right.
But I, like, it's shit that he's doing in his crib right now that I'm just like, dog, yo, stop. Like I can't put myself next to him. I can't put myself next to Dr. Dre, DJ Quick, No ID, Kanye.
A producer in the realm of you, Premier, Just Blaze. I'm not gonna say Kanye because he's going a different way, but specifically you.
Hold on. I wouldn't say Kanye's going a different way.
No.
He just produced on Push's album too, and he brought the Kanye we was looking for.
So let's even. But you'll understand why I took him out of the question I'm about to ask you. You specifically, Just Blaze specifically, and Premier specifically, y'all make some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But today's popular artist does not fit the mold of worthy of a Premier, a Just Blaze,
The thing is, they do. They are worthy. It's just that they'd rather go with speed than to go with quality. And it's not their fault.
Which still leads me to ask.
This is the reason why.
Which still leads me to ask.
They don't have time.
Which still leads me to ask, when you hear Just Blaze, and you're like, oh, he's in there going crazy. Is it a bit saddening when you're like, well, who's going to use that?
Nah, because he's scoring video games. Like, come on, man. And now you're about to be able to vote on a video game soundtrack for a Grammy. Like, Just Blaze will win a Grammy for a fucking video soundtrack game. For a video because his soundtrack for his video games, when I say his, like, he owns the company. Like, think about that. Like, Just Blaze is like, yeah, well, fuck all you rap shits. I'm going to make some video games. Why? Because video games won't go away.
Yeah.
You rappers will go away.
Mm.
So even if you feel like you don't want to come and get with Just Blaze, who fixed damn near anybody he's ever produced.
Bang.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fine. I'll do these video games that your kids are going to play when you're dead.
Sheesh.
See what I'm saying?
One question, Clark, about a song like just, and this kind of wraps up our all producing thing. When you give a Sky's the Limit to Big, do you kind of put in his ear, this is a more inspirational vibe where that song is going
to
go?
It's funny because with Sky's the Limit, this is going to sound crazy to you. That was Akinyele's beat.
What?
But he didn't move on it. The first person to have that beat was Jay.
Okay.
The second person was Sauce Money. Because in our hierarchy, it was Jay, Sauce Money. Those two the first people who get all my beats. That's just the way it went. Yeah. They didn't move it.
Yeah.
And then it was Akinyele. Because Akinyele was damn near down with us. And he didn't move on it. He just didn't do it. So then when I gave it to Big and it wasn't the first thing I gave him. Like, Player's Anthem was mm-hmm. the first thing on the tape. And then Need You Tonight was mm-hmm. there. Like, it's almost like I put the Junior Mafia album.
Junior Mafia album.
What?
Need You Tonight. Still, it's a personal favorite.
It's a good record. But the thing is, like, I damn near gave him a Junior Mafia album without trying to, because there was a bunch of the joints on there that became Junior Mafia's album, right? So, but this song, soon as it came on, he was like, we're on a tour bus and he was like, hold this for me. And I was like, hold what? Dog, what are you talking about? I can't hold that. Like I move music. And he was like, nah, you got a hold this for me. Like, I need this track. And I was like, okay. 5 minutes later, he's going, you know that you keep on. And I was just like, oh yeah, I got a hold this.
Mm.
Cause I just like, if that's what you're coming up with off of this, this is going to be special. I felt like it was going to be special. Yeah. I didn't know until when he laid the verses and I was just like, oh shit. So when I mixed the song, we're in the studio and I mixed the song. He goes, this is it. This is my favorite song. And I was like, okay, that's enough for me. If the shit doesn't do anything,
it's Big said
it's his favorite song. And
He didn't question the way I mixed it. He didn't question the way I did the drops. He didn't question the way anything happened. He just was like, I trust you. And because we already did an album together. We did Junior Mafia's album together. And I literally produced all the vocals on the whole album. So, and a bunch of the songs. But like, he was just like, nah, I trust Clock. And on this song, he, at the end of it, said it was his favorite song. And I was just like, yeah, let it be whack. I don't care. He said it was his favorite song. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know when it's happening, but him saying that gave me a different feeling. It made me feel like, okay, I did the right thing by not giving it to Akinyele, unfortunately, because he's my man, and I don't want you to think I didn't want him to have it, but he just didn't move on it.
Yeah.
You know? And Sauce and Jay didn't move on it either. They didn't move on Player's Anthem.
It's just so funny.
I gave Player's Anthem to LL Cool J.
I'm so glad.
No. Listen. I gave it to LL Cool J, right? It was the first thing. It was the first thing on a tape that I gave to him, right? We make Player's Anthem. We go to a mastering lab and make some plates. And we go to the club. We go to the tunnel and give it to Flex and give it to Cat. Cat just starts banging it and banging it. Like, no one's ever heard it, but now the crowd's going bananas. Well, it's me, Big, Un, and a couple of the Mafia kids there, but we're just on the wall, like, playing cool. And then Big's verse come by and everybody's like, oh shit, this is a new Biggie record. LL walks in the joint. He goes, yo, fuck is this? It's this new shit we just did it like yesterday. And he was like, yo, you need to give me a joint like this. It's the first thing on the tape I gave you. So that tells me
you're not listening.
Nah, it's not that they can't hear the whole song. They can only hear what they're supposed to do. And maybe he didn't know what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So a producer has to be able to say, this is what you're supposed to do. He has to finish the record. All of these guys on this list can finish the records. There's dudes who make beats. And they just make beats and they pass them off. That's like damn near 70% of shit you hear on the radio right now is somebody who passed off a beat, or somebody who put it on YouTube and somebody heard it and was like, made a song. And then they're chasing down the guy to find out if they can get paid for the song that they use off of their beat that they found on YouTube.
Yeah.
But all of these guys finished the record. Molly Ma made Shantae.
Mm-hmm.
He made Kane.
Mm-hmm.
He made Biz.
Mm-hmm.
He made fucking Kool G Rap.
Yes.
Like, when I'm talking about, he made those artists. Like, that's some other shit, B. Molly Ma is Jesus to
everybody
all of us.
On the symphony. Yeah. Every single artist on the symphony.
Yeah. He created the Juice Crew and made all of them. Like, what? Are you not paying attention? How many of these producers that you can look at and go, they made?
Nobody.
Premier made Guru.
No, I'm talking about.
But what I'm saying is, on this list, how many of them can you say made an artist? It's short.
Premier made Guru. Pharrell and Timbaland, I feel both.
Pharrell and Timbaland made a group.
JD Missy. Made
Pharrell made the clips.
Made the clips.
Pharrell made Khalees. Pharrell made Pharrell.
Pharrell. he revamped Nori.
He just gave Nori a record that changed what Nori was going to do.
Dre, obviously.
Dre made Snoop.
Eminem.
JD.
Jay made Eminem.
He made 50.
He didn't make 50.
He made 50.
He didn't make 50. 50 was already being 50 when he got
But he
to Dre.
Wasn't going
to
be that.
He was going to be that.
Without Dre.
Here's the reason why he was going to be
Old
that.
Whose beats?
Dog, when he made Flatline, people loved that shit. When he made
But Flatline would have never seen the light of day.
I'm not saying he didn't help him. Mm-hmm. What I'm telling you is 50 was already an artist, a pure artist. Think about this.
I agree with what you're saying.
Think about this. Every 50 song that you love is a singing hook.
Yes.
And you don't think he's a singer. That means he's the fucking real deal.
Yeah. And he's David Blaine. He made a C song. He made a C song. I was like, wait.
Yo, think about this. He had a beef with Ja Rule.
About the same shit.
And they were doing the same shit. It's just that Ja Rule sang like an R&B nigga. He sang like a hood nigga. Now,
that is where
the difference
50
is.
50 sings like your uncle is singing his favorite song.
Yeah, but we
never
all can
too
sing
much,
it.
Never too
we all
much,
know it's
never too much.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so it's different.
Well, Clark, thank you so much.
This is the new, this is the Clark Hip Hop Questions Legends.
Nah,
thank you. Thank you for pulling up. Thank you so much for pulling up.
Thank you for even asking me. I appreciate it.
We've been able to sit and speak to a whole bunch of legends that we grew up mm-hmm. idolizing and listening to. So, you know, to add you to a listen, the way you came in on fire, we super uh-huh. appreciate it.
Yeah. When I'm passionate about something, and I'm passionate about producers, being a producer, but I'm actually passionate about these guys because I'm actually a fan of these people. You yeah. know what I'm saying? So because I'm a DJ, I listen differently. So I listen from the outside going, geez, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was hard for me to not mention JD because I could listen to Donuts and be like, this is some of the most amazing shit I've ever heard, but I need records to make this list. Yeah. And like, again, I go back to DJ Premier and I say, DJ Premier has made so many records that bang in clubs that don't go to radio. He might have more of those records than these guys have records that did it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can go to a club and do a Premier set paying tribute to him, and every record I play will ring off to the crowd. Mm-hmm. Because they might go, I didn't hear that on the radio, but that was my favorite joint on the album.
Yeah.
Because when Premier get to your, it's almost like you needed Premier on your album back in those times. Like in the mid-90s all the way through to the early 2000s, you needed Premier on your album. Otherwise, your album wasn't done.
Please tell the people, we already know where to follow you and support you, but where can the people support?
I'm easy to follow. I'm at DJ Clark Kent, just the way it sounds, on Instagram, on Twitter. And, you know, I'm trying not to do too much, stay out the way, but do good things. I wake up every day just trying to do cool shit.
You be winning. You're an overachiever in that instance. Nyla, anything?
He said it all. Thank you so much for coming.
Don't miss an episode of The What? Hip Hop Questions, Legends, and Lists. Listen and subscribe on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. The What? Hip Hop Questions, Legends, and Lists podcast is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network, and our executive producer is Darren Byrne, and produced by A. King.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.